I'm way out of line here. I'd like to apologize. You're both lovely, especially you. Thank you. Dessert's going to be on me. I'm going to go hit my side work, marry some ketchups. We have a flourless chocolate cake that's like every other restaurant in the world, but ours really is amazing, and it's coming your way. You know that's right. It's episode 2, season 7 of this podcast and of Psych, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, and riding in the cranberry with me, as always, is the New Balance wearing, rodeo burger eating, Uber riding, woo, square dancing, Capri Sun stealing, zip lining, son of a gun. He's having a hard time keeping those alligators down. Woo! Billy, my guy, how's it going?
It's going well. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but you are very choppy on the video.
I'm laggy. Yeah. So I'm just going to have to like not even look at it. Let me stop and start the cam. But that's besides the point right now. What we're doing right now, Doc, is we are talking Season 7, Episode 2. And I know that's your thing, but Season 7 holds a special place in my heart. I love this season. It's fantastic. And you're low on this episode. I'm high on this episode. Just tell the people what this episode is, because I want to get right into it.
Okay, because I want to debate our differences real quick, because they're not. I think it's not as big as you think.
that's what she said.
Facts. Juliet takes a lover. Synopsis: Sean is jealous when Juliet is undercover at a dating service, trying to meet a man who has killed several women. Gus meets a woman through the service. Sean thinks she's a killer, and she thinks she's the killer instead of a man. Madeline is in town to help Henry. Okay, right off the bat, the sole synopsis of this episode should just be Madeline is in town to help Henry, and key emphasis on help.
Yeah, I mean, I might go with the team goes undercover once again to try and solve a ring of murders. Madeline comes to help Henry, but
perfect. Nailed it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the synopsis is they've had like two good ones in the last like four seasons. I just don't think they care.
I don't think so either. But with that said, so we have two scores that I think seem like they're worlds apart, but they're not really. Because I think I will speak on behalf of you for just a moment. Mm-hmm. I think we both enjoy this episode. And I think one of us enjoys it just a little bit more than the other. Because I don't have any nits to pick with this episode, right? I just think for me overall, it's lacking. Now, I did go back and rewatch it, because when I watched it last night and I was typing the notes, I find it kind of, I miss stuff because I'm trying really to do two things at once. And so I got out of work early today. I threw it on a little bit of a rewatch, and because I initially said not a lot of yucks, not a ton of LOL moments. Except for one real big one, and the plot was solid. And then you came in and said, couldn't disagree more. There's lots of laughs. And I would agree. There are a lot more laughs than I initially sort of gave it credit for. But there's still, I don't know, for me, there's still just a little something lacking with this particular episode. Not that it's bad. Like I said, I don't have any nits to pick. I needed, I think, just a little bit more for me to put it in that 7+ tier.
I like the explanation. Good job trying to cover your tracks there. But I love this episode. For some reason, it's just so much more fun. And this was one of those episodes. It's actually, I think, the episode that kicks off a different wave of Psych, where it's that zaniness that goes to another level. Like, I think this episode is kind of zany, and we'll get into it. Actually, you know what, I know you usually do this, but I'll set us up for Sean to tell us about our process.
There we go.
Usually starts with a holla and ends with a creamsicle, and then if there's time in between, Thundercats. Ho!
So we'll just dip, dive, duck, dodge right into this one. To me it's a switch in feeling of Psych. The previous episode was, more heavy-handed in a good way. It was less still goofy, but, you know, it was dealing with very serious subject matter. This one is goofy. I feel like it's shot on better cameras than all of the previous seasons, and that's going to happen the later you go. But everything just feels a little more, like, brighter, crisper. I don't know. There's just something about this that feels very different than a lot of other Psych episodes, and they kind of continue this trend throughout. Maybe it's because it's the season I've watched the most and eight that I feel that way, but this definitely feels a little bit different than a lot of Psychs.
Well, this is really Psych, I think, you know, the show in general at its highest peak.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, at this time, you know, especially for like USA shows, it's probably the best USA show going at the time.
Was Suits out yet?
Yeah, but Suits was either just starting.
Yeah, it hadn't reached that.
Yeah, it hadn't reached its pinnacle yet. So, but like, this was getting all the promo time, right? You know, on USA, like this really is Psych at the height of its powers. And so, I think you're right. The production costs have probably gone up a little bit in terms of quality of the cameras, because it does, you know, have a different look. And there's a different feel of Psych from this point out. Now, I like that they followed Santa Barbara Town up with this type of episode, because you needed it, right? You needed the levity. You're still kind of carrying over some elements from that, but you're really sort of making fun, right? Isn't the right word, but like, you're taking Henry getting shot and you're cracking some great jokes about it, which was important. While you're having Sean having this existential crisis, you know, sort of like pre-midlife crisis, if you will, throughout the entire episode before he finally comes to his senses. But I think this is a really good episode. If you're at one score, I'm at the other, right? Say seven is like the middle point. Like, I'm just a tick below, you're just a tick above. And I think that really does characterize how we feel about the episode.
No, let's dive in.
Yeah, writer, director. We got Andy Burney, who has a little bit of a twang.
I love this guy.
I didn't realize he produced, or he was a producer on 97 episodes, basically from season two on.
Which is probably the bulk of them. We need to ask to have this guy on, because I feel like he would be fantastic. Be, okay.
Well, because I would be doing this voice the whole time. No, I think your accent is offensive.
And I think I would really... I'd probably want to handpick the episode. Cogblocked would be great. Maybe, well, obviously, when he's produced or written, we'll have to look ahead. But he is fantastic. I think he gets the pacing comedy of the show. Obviously, he's worked on probably over 100 if he produces and directs all of these ones. Yeah. So he really is, I think, obviously, you know, Steve Franks, Bill Callahan are the other really big heavy hitters, but the fact that he produced 97 of them says a lot about his knowledge of the show. And I think this is a very Psych episode, even though we don't hit a lot of the stuff, you know, like the nicknames. There's one, there's like a Gus Don't Be A, but it's a very Psychy episode.
It is. Special guest stars or standout guest stars. We have Sybil Shepherd returning as Stradlin Madeline Spencer. Figuratively and literally, she was great in this episode, which is not something we could say about her previous stints as Stradlin Madeline. And then we have Parmandir Nagra, who plays Rachel, or Gus's boo, if you will.
And uneven performance.
Yeah, you're right. It was a bit uneven.
Pauly Desperikova, like her going back and forth with the Rotten Tomato meter, didn't necessarily love that moment, but otherwise I thought she was very good. I thought she played a very good foil to Sean. Yeah. We'll get into it, but like basically the spot of slap and tickle, as the Brits would call it when they're described. That killed. I love that.
And what I love about that is when they're sitting at the dinner table and he's doing it, and even his mom's going, what is this?
Is that opening a can?
Yeah, right. Like there were some things, like you talk about the rule of threes, and we get some great callbacks. And what I love too is when we get to Gus's nickname, for the first time, I think it's a direct play off of
it's derivative.
Yeah. Right from like the scene, like literally seconds before. So We'll get right into it here. Again, no flashback scene. I think from this point out, we could probably count on a shop teacher's hand how many flashback scenes we're gonna get.
I'll keep tonight.
You're warm. You're red hot.
Red hot though. We're in it. I think there's a few. I think mainly probably in the finale we get a couple, but I don't even think it leads the finale. I think it's somewhere in the middle of it. I think we might get a dumbass hat thing in the finale too, which crazy town banana pants. I hate that. But yeah, we start this episode, no flashback, and we just get, let me help you, father.
Stop talking to me like we're in a 1950s black and white TV show.
I'm just trying to help you, father.
Oh, I love that. I sympathize with Henry here. He just wants everyone off his ass. And everyone is so overprotective of him. And he's just like, get the fuck away from me. You can tell he's got the look of a man who's like, I just want to sit and drink a beer in silence.
Yep. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I think we can all relate, even though nobody really. I have to find somebody to bother me.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we get Madeline Hall suddenly really, really cares about Henry, right? She abandoned them. And
he got shot. He almost died.
Almost, Billy. Almost, right?
He was like a life support.
Well, you know, Sean was barely poisoned, right? Like, you know.
Didn't treat that like this. This was real.
Yes. No, this was real. I thought it was a fun little scene. I like that. You know, Sean is, we're seeing a different sort of side of Sean, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where he's in this, like, he's usually the relationship between him and Henry is two Rams button heads. And now he's like, you know, he's very, you know, very caring, you know, and protective of his father.
I love this moment when she's like, maybe this is a chance for you to get to know him in a different way. And he's like, no, I don't know if I need to know him in additional ways. The one way seems solid, seems sufficient.
Right. Is this a scene too where she's holding the frozen corn dog?
Yeah. I can't take you seriously. And then he's like, I'll take it under advisement. So, and that comes back into play when they're at the kitchen table again, but just fantastic. And then we go to Jules's apartment. And I will say this was on my dating profile, speaking of this episode, for a little while. There's nothing more in the world that I hate than putting together furniture where it's like the A, the B, the C, the JPEG. But I've done it so much. And like my mom will like have me come over and do it for her. And she's like one of the few people that I would do it for. Like I just buy everything at Home Goods. I refuse to fucking put a single piece of furniture together for myself. But the last girlfriend I had, I did it for. And I've gotten so good at it, Joe. I take everything out of the box. I line it all up. I put A, B, C. Yep. I get all the little fucking, I cut out like the screws. I put them like A, B, C, D, J, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And inevitably still one thing is like on backwards or like it's unbelievable how fucking complicated it always winds up being, but I'm pretty good at doing it.
Do you know how many fucking Allen wrenches I have at my house?
A million,
and they're all the same fucking size. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely maddening. Now we've got a new outdoor patio table being delivered. Same fucking thing. I'm going to put this goddamn thing together. I'm going to get another fucking Allen wrench.
It's going to take an afternoon.
Yeah, Jesus. Anyways, I get Jules's frustration with this IKEA shit. I get it, right? And this is a great little scene because we're seeing Sean and Jules together and Sean is we get a little arrested development here from Sean because he seems like he's on the brink of telling Jules, my lease is up, and she's like, yes. And he's like, I'm gonna move in with my dad.
With my daddy.
Yeah.
How many more times in my life is my father going to be recovering from a gunshot wound? Maybe once, maybe if I'm lucky. Like his delivery of that is phenomenal.
Yeah. And the look on Jules's face sort of says it all. And this really is, I think, probably one of the first dominoes that starts to fall in what will be sort of a season-long buildup to the breakup.
And what I love about this, and they do it quite often, and he's so perceptive. He so can tell what people are thinking before they're even thinking it. And he's always like, come on, I know you. I can always tell when you're lying. Like, they do such a good job of making it so obvious that he's completely missing the point as someone who's, like, not really psychic, but like the most perceptive person in the world, but like his girlfriend, he can't read. And the way that they do it and deliver it is so like unbelievable, believable, that it just plays to the comedy so well.
Yeah, but how relatable is that? Right? Yeah. Like you're in a relationship with someone and like you think things are going well and you're sort of living in your own little world, sometimes your own little selfish world. And so you perceive it one way and you're completely ignoring all the telltale signs, you know, from your partner. And then when they fucking, when they end it, you're like, what the fuck? And I didn't see it coming. It's like the most obvious shit's right in front of your face. And that, like, to your point, that's the brilliance of it. He's this hyper observant person, but in this moment, because he doesn't know how to, like, he's never been in a relationship of this magnitude before. Mm-hmm. He's just completely oblivious, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I get that from, like, the large-scale humans across the world. Me, I'm always just worried about everything, so that would never happen to me.
Right. I'm with you, Billy. But that was great. Like, that was, like, that was a very humanizing, relatable thing. I also love, you know, I know we'll get into this in a bit, but I also love, like, why are you trashing on The Mentalist?
I love it. It's such a meta, self-aware shot of a show that basically stole their gimmick.
Yeah,
not even basically, just fucking stole their gimmick.
Yeah, it's always we'll get to the. I made sure to put that in a couple of points there, but so you could tell Jules is pissed. They get to the office, and we get play a Gus. I love this. Gus is going full George Costanza, taking glamour shots for his Tinder profile. I'll say this. He had one hell of a light setup. As a guy who's now getting more familiar with lights, and by the way, for those watching, Billy's fucking light setup right now is
crisp.
It's crisp. I mean, it's real crisp. I strive to be that crispy. But I get it, and I love his setup because the light's fucking everywhere, and he's got his legs up on the table, and Sean walks in. It's like, he's like, oh, no, I wasn't watching, Pornhub or anything. You know, he had like that kind of reaction. Was fucking great.
I thought I caught you doing something real embarrassing.
Yeah, right.
He was updating his dating profile, which, and I will say, my main photo now on my dating profile is this really intense shot of me like looking at a monitor, like
setting up
a shot.
Yeah.
I purposely just, like, the shot that I'm setting up is the shot that I'm taking. Yeah. I was like, so like, I get it, Gus. You want that like good shot. Shot that I'm looking at is me.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. And so what I love about me, what I love about this is that, you know, Gus is going on about, you know, his, you know, he's trying to get back out there. And I love the seed that they plant here. It's like all the girls I've dated in the past are murderers or dating, you know, murderer. Like, yeah. And so he's talking about this woman he met, and she's like a little Indian princess who bakes pies. Suck it, right? He's like, so
his delivery of suck it too is just
brilliant. Amazing. It may be one of the best. I mean, the falsetto is fantastic. Great. And then I love this. Like, Sean was great. He goes, everyone lies on these things and looks pretty online. And when you show up, guess who's waving you from the other side of the bar? It's the new Dolly version of Colonel Sanders with a wig. Like, that was just, like, such a great line.
I've never seen the Colonel Sanders new Dolly version in a wig. But what I have seen is someone come in and be like, Billy? And I'm like, and no shame or anything like that. But I did not even recognize the person from what I saw. I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And like, I was like, oh my God, like they look nothing like what their profile looked like.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard out there for a pimp.
It sure is.
Pictures dropping. Oh boy. So this was just a great little scene. But what is this? We see Jules
Helene
on the dating app.
Helene, well, it's great because Gus, you know, Sean is there to get a suitcase because Gus's works and has a zipper and wheels. Right. And he's like, did you tell Jules you were moving in with your father? She's like, yeah, she's totally cool. Like, I know her like the back of my hand or whatever. And he's like, well, Jules may be cool, but Helene is back on the market. And that is like a great setup and delivery. And the only thing I'll say here, my only nit really to pick is in that scene previously with Sean and Gus, or Sean and Jules, I would have liked them to have said something along the lines of just, I know you've been so busy with your dad, we haven't even really talked. Because I'm not saying he shouldn't know every case she's on, but he would know about an undercover one if they're dating. Only nitpick, but I don't really, really care because it's a fun episode. Like, if you're fun enough, I'll forgive, like, the little pen strokes you could fix it with. Right, but right, right. Only nitpick. But it was the crash cut to the next scene is amazing.
It was absolutely fantastic. So, like, yeah, again, like, very relatable here for Sean. You know, he shows up. So Jules is on a date, and Sean is just operating. He's a full 11 here, but I get it. I 100% get it, because him not knowing that she's undercover and sees that she's on a date, like, oh, I'd be flying in there too.
Hello, Helene.
Yeah. Who am I? Who are you? I'm the boyfriend. So stop staring into her green eyes, Jack.
My eyes are blue. How do you know? You can't see them.
Right. My name is Mike. Like, I thought that too was just like a subtle thought. My name is Mike. You
know? Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that also, like, I listened to that a couple times today because that was going to be my, like, intro thing too. But, like, yeah, the common thing is, like, get out of here. Like, Jack is, like, just like an innocuous, like, nebulous term for a person you're trying to.
Yeah, and they use that throughout the show, right? Yeah. Like, he's, you know, Sean's always calling people Jack, right? Mm-hmm. He's done that in, you know, several levels, you know, several episodes throughout the series. But it was great because he was, like, again, completely oblivious. Jules mm-hmm. is trying to, like, get, and he's just, like, so far into the weeds, he can't really see in front of his nose. And then, like, Lassie sends McNabb out there. He's like, you need to get out there. He goes, I wish I could, sir, but I'm in the weeds.
Oh, right my now. God. So fun. Like, they're using, like, the kitchen lingo.
Yeah.
Leave the spaghetti. Fucking kills me. And then when they're going back and forth, and he's like, you know, this guy, really? Come on. Yeah. He's not that good. You know what? Honestly, it's not great. Like,
yeah.
When he's, like, dressing him down. And yeah. then she goes, you know, he's immature. He just moved back in with his parents. Yeah. And he goes, all right, we're going to play dirty ball, huh? We're going to play old school nasty ball. Like,
yeah.
That was amazing. He tips the fucking breadsticks. And then after McNabb, and he kind of, like, puts it all together. And he does the intro thing about the chocolate flourless cake. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a great scene. And I meant to write that down on my favorite moments, because that really was, like, everything about it was just like the little flick of those shitty ass breadsticks. Those were, I don't know, those breadsticks looked like they were fucking 10 days old and stale as shit, right?
They were not Olive Garden or Papagino's, the two best bread. Like, the Papagino's breadsticks are the greasiest thing on Mother Earth, but they're so good.
So, Swaggins, because of my mom, like, her favorite pizza is double burger pizza from Papagino's.
Ooh.
Fucking loves it, because that's my mom's favorite. Like, it's always Papagino's. And so whenever they're together, they always order, you know, so when on Friday nights, I'll say, Violet, do you want to make pizza or do you order pizza? She's, I want Papagino's. This is her order now. She's, Dad, I want Papagino's triple burger. I said, you're getting double. And then she goes, okay, can we get some cheesy bread? And I said, okay, fine.
That's the breadsticks, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those breadsticks. So my sister, another quick aside, my sister in high school, when she was in high school and I was, like, in middle school, she worked at Papagino's. And I would go after school every day and get the, like, it was, like, unlimited, like, breadsticks and pasta, or, like, cheap breadsticks and pasta. They had the best steak and cheese sub ever at Papa. It was amazing. I don't know if they still make a good one, but, like, 25 years ago, it was incredible.
Did it have enough cheese? Did you have to ask for extra cheese?
No, it was amazing. Yeah. It was unfucking real. And I used to work at a sub shop, and I would go there for meals.
So I'll tell you this. Is Papagino's the best pizza? No. Is it satisfying pizza? Yes.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Right? Anyways, okay. So bringing it back, we're at the station now, and now this is sort of where we get the plot of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that we don't really get it right away, and I love that they sort of use this sort of undercover first date to kind of lead into it.
Real quick, back to the other scene. I liked Mike. I liked his seahorse thing. I liked how beta and, like, ridiculous they made him. They made him, like, the salt and pepper, like, super, like, that was the perfect like guy on a dating app that like a girl will like begrudgingly go out with. Yeah. Get it out of the park. But yeah. Back to the station where they got the crime board.
Yeah, so we find out that two women in their early 20s have been found dead. Mm-hmm. And you get the string everywhere, which yep. I always love.
There is no connection in HR.
That's right. The connection between them is soulmateconnection.com, which is mm-hmm. the fake dating app service SMC. That they use. And they both dated very similar men. There was four or five guys on that board. Mm-hmm. And so I like that, right? I really like the setup to, what we're going to get for the plot of this episode. And I enjoyed the pacing of it, and I enjoyed how, Jules went on a couple of dates before you really, got to, who the big reveal. And yeah. I love that there's some red herrings in here. Like, I thought, from a plot point, this one was executed brilliantly.
It was fun. I really did like the plot of it. It's not that Detective O'Hara hasn't done a bang-up job of Jezebeling herself to half of Santa Barbara. And then, she, references the dating show he was on. Yep. I did what needed to be done because I am a man. That outburst, and then the chief is like, okay, enough. And then he injects himself into the case because he wants to help her out. That back and forth quickly, and the disappointment on Jules's face that he is gonna help, it's just really well done. The banter, and I said this about X-Men 97, it's a Sharon Murray right now. The character equity of a show that's in its seventh season that you can take from, build on, and lean on is done well all the time in this series. But I think it's done really well, obviously, in the later seasons, but they know how to do it. Some shows don't know how to do it as well.
Yeah. And we talked about for so long about the slow build, how they didn't rush putting Sean and Jules together. I feel like they rushed the breakup and then getting back together a bit, but
getting back together is preposterous. It's the worst part of the show.
Yeah, it really is. But the one thing they did do well was little seeds we get in this throughout this episode, mm-hmm. Of just showing, some chinks in the armor there, them not arguing, but there's little things like this. That just make it believable that maybe they're going down a road that leads to breakup.
Right? I would say at least you could see there's the awareness that Sean isn't fully a man, I guess,
Right. But
that isn't what ultimately causes the breakup.
True.
The fact that he lies. And I think Jules is okay with his. But I've had this happen to me before in relationships where you have a girl or whoever in your life and they see a hot dude and they comment on it. And you're like, oh, huh. You're aware that they're as aware of the opposite sex as you are. And it's kind of that's true. That happens. As a man, you don't think of the other girl looking at other people as much. You know what I mean? And then you see it happen in real time and you're like, oh, damn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because how many times have did you get a good look? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I can remember we were at a restaurant not too long ago, and I look at Megan, I go, I'm standing right here. Yeah. I'm right here. And then I'm like, that kid's in high school, right? She goes, what?
I go, Jesus.
I go, he was talking about playing baseball, to her crowd, he was he did look but she goes, oh, god damn it. I'm standing right here, Megan. Come on. Anywho, off the rails, back on it. So we're back at the station / psych office, mm-hmm. and hello, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Right. So between Henry getting shot and Gus with a new lady and Jules being undercover, Sean's in a real lather now.
Oh yeah. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. And this was great. So we're at the psych office here, and Sean, this is typical Sean. We've gotten this throughout many, many times when Gus has been with a lady. He interjects himself because he doesn't ever think, one, that the girl is good enough for Gus, and two, he doesn't like anyone getting between him and Gus.
And real quickly, you get another, this is always winds up being some of my favorite episodes, is you get an equal to Sean in like the back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Gus was real good. And
no, but Rachel. Rachel.
Oh, here yeah. Like oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Returning serve. Right.
Yep. And we've known each other since we were born. We took our first poops together. Mine was adorable. His was a little too formed, which is like on point for Gus. Mm-hmm. You would think like, oh, yeah, he newborn. It's just taking like perfectly formed shits, you know, mm-hmm. because he wouldn't have it any other way. And of course, Gus would tell a waitress she looked like a young Eleanor Roosevelt.
See, that's the kind of over the top weird thing that I did like. But I didn't like the Paulina Poroskova thing. I'm nitpicking.
That here, felt forced. That felt forced. Yeah.
But I did love the Eleanor Roosevelt thing. That was good.
Yeah. And then you got a quote here, Rachel. So if you don't mind, I mean, I don't know if you walked or drove or oh yeah, but it's a lovely jaunt down to the beach path back to whatever it was that you came from.
Did you have a jacket? Yeah. And then he pulls Gus aside and. Well, before he pulls Gus aside, we find out that they're technically on their second date. They probably met back up in the morning for coffee or whatever. But he's like, did you guys like it? And then he gives like yes. his version of the do it symbol, which is like one hand on top. And then like, he kind of like tickles the hand and then he like
slaps the wrist. Top.
And then like in the other room, he's like, don't worry. I did the do it sign. She doesn't know what it means. I know what it means. But what is this?
Yeah.
Like that killed me. Killed me. And then Gus mans up, kicks him the fuck out, and then we get, I'll just say it now, I know it's in the bottom of the notes, but the don't be the bee from apartment 23.
Yeah.
We're better than that. We're all better than that. At least I hope we are.
Right. Which was such a great dig and such a great line, because that was, what's her name? She went on to be Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones season 3, the dork episode we've all been waiting for. But yes, that is her, and she is, and she was the love interest of Jesse in Breaking Bad.
Beautiful. Kristen Ritter.
Yeah,
Kristen Ritter. Yeah, but that was such a great reference. Mm-hmm. I loved it because I never saw the show, but like,
oh,
it,
the bee. I don't know what show it was being promoted around. It might have been fucking like Lost. I don't know what it was. Probably not, because that would have been like earlier on. But what there was a show I was watching at that time where every commercial was the fucking bee in Apartment 23. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And nobody right. watched it.
Nobody watched it. I never watched it. But if you say it, I can, bam, I can,
oh, yeah, I can
go back in time and picture it right in your head. So they're back at Henry's and he is fucking, this is some good old fashioned cranky ass Henry. This old is some man. Season yep. two, old man cranky Henry. And again, he just, all right.
Wait, you know what time you're going to have it back.
Yeah, people need to take care of him, but like he just get the fuck out of my house. That's all he wants.
I also love that he's dipping milk in cookies.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that because there's two things that I love now as being an old man. And I gotta tell you something too. I walked out of Lowe's the other day, Billy. And I was so satisfied with myself. I said, "Yep, I'm Henry." Right? I was like, I had this air of like, yes, accomplishment that I walked out of Lowe's on like. A weekday at like 8:30 in the morning. But dipping cookies in milk. And the other thing that like as an old I like to do now too is like the peanut butter on the saltine crackers.
Ooh, all
right. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I love a saltine cracker.
Yeah.
Fresh crackers, saltine crackers are great.
Yeah, little peanut butter on a saltine cracker, Bill. You'll go through a fucking sleeve without batting an eyelash. Thanks, quiz. And but like Sean's mom is, you know. They're sitting at the table and Sean's doing the do it symbol thing again. And even she's questioning it, which I thought was great. Is that opening a can, right? Like the perplexity on her face is so great. And it's like what they do really well here, like with Sean, like, you know, moving back in and with straddling Madeline being there. It's like, this is probably exactly what it was like, you know, before she left when he was a kid. Right. And so you're sort of getting that like, weird family dynamic.
Oh, that, Henry, let him take the truck.
Yeah, right. You have it back by 11 or whatever that was.
Midnight. What am I? Cinderella? You want to make it 11:30? Yeah, right. I also love that he's like, oh, where are you taking her? Oh, it's actually not my date. Right. Like, she's going on a date with another guy. It's a long story, but don't yeah. worry. There'll be absolutely none of this.
So we fast forward to Jules' second date, and I love this because Sean forgot to mention to Gus that Jules is undercover, right? Gus just knows that she's on the dating apps, and she sees him, and I love Gus. He's standing up for his boy. He's just being a great friend.
By the way, they're also seeing Howard the Duck. I don't know if you caught that on the
podcast. Oh, no, I didn't.
That's like an 80s reboot night. I think it's the same theater they see Psycho at, because it's the same.
Yep.
What do they call that? Marnock? Something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I'll figure it out. I've had a lot of pineapple juice tonight. But
date, Billy?
No. He was just like, just know, if I wasn't on a date myself, we would be having words. And then Sean's like sitting back in the thing. It's my boy right there.
Yeah. Right. Because Sean is in the van with Lassie and the team, you know, because Jules is all mic'd up here.
And everybody's in the Lorden.
Yeah. And what
Marquee,
I love about
Marquee, I got it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And what I love about this is that like, Sean's just like ready to jump into action. Right. Because it's Jules and she's potentially with a murderer. But Lassie's like, no. She's got a safe word, you know. I'm feeling hot. And Sean's like, well, when does that come up in natural conversation? Well, what would you choose? How about you have a butt chin?
Great.
Right. And this is one of my favorite scenes of the episode here. So what happens here is Jules is on this date. I can't remember what the guy's
Lorden,
thank you. And I'll say this 1,000 times. One of the things that the show does really well is create suspense. Mm-hmm. So they create your pictures are just falling off
the wall, man.
Get that AC going. The humidity's too high. And so it creates this bit of suspense where gets her to turn around, and you can really say, like, she does a brilliant job of making you feel like, oh shit, she feels threatened here.
Oh yeah.
And you can kind of see it in her face and the way she's talking, and she utters the safe word. Mm-hmm. So they all start running out, and it seems like he's going to like attack her, put his hands around her neck, but he has a necklace or whatever it is.
Oh, we get a slight, maybe, tip of the cap to Seinfeld here with a turtle from the Galapagos Islands.
Ah, yes. You got me swimming with the turtles in the Galapagos Islands. I don't know what I'm doing.
That was a great George. I honestly would ask Andy Berman. It has to be a nod.
Has to be, right? And yes, no doubt about it. And because all these guys would have, grown up with that. And so Sean and Lassie are coming out, and as soon as she realizes that it's just a necklace, she calls them off. But it's just a smidge too late because Lassie and Sean are within eyeshot, with an eyesight and earshot. So Sean's like, he pulls Lassie in, and Lassie goes, get your meat hooks off me. You want to blow her cover? Come on, sell it. Rub my back at a medium pace.
Unbelievable. Which has
got to be an Adam Sandler reference.
Yep. Or right? Jack Black reference, right?
Oh, yep. And he goes, you're an idiot. Just make it tender. And when Lassie goes, I'm being tender, was brilliant.
I think the next scene has my favorite line, but that might be the best scene when he's just like, you said, make it tender. I am being tender.
And then Sean grabs his ass.
This just in.
Yeah. That was just so good. Like, Lassie wasn't in this episode like a ton. Like,
he's great though.
But he was fantastic. And then we're back at Henry's, and Sean is very uncomfortable with the family reunion that's taking place. And I love this because Sybil Shepherd, she in the episode she's been in the past, she's been just sort of very cold, very one note, like just because she's a psychologist. But in this, she's like actually being a mom. And she's like, I did your laundry, but I couldn't remember if you like your socks folded or put into a ball. And he's like, I like my socks in a ball.
That's what I did. Well, that was fortuitous. I love when he comes in and they ask how the date was, and he's just like, Juliet's guy turned out not to be a serial killer. So that was a buzzkill. But I did get a little action off of Lassiter.
Yes.
You know, over the clothes, middle school stuff. And I will say, that is one of my most referenced things ever. Because I've gone on over probably I hate to say it, like 200 first dates. Maybe
Wilt the Stilt Delaney, baby.
And people will ask you how it went. And usually you get at, you know, medium, I would say like one out of every four, you get the over the clothes middle school stuff at the car. Like that is like, and when people ask, I quote this directly. I got over the clothes, you know, middle school style.
Yeah. So yeah, again, great scene.
Right? And then they're watching the boy who could fly. Fly, Eric. Millie was the only one who understood him. Sometimes I feel like him. And that comes back later in a big way.
Oh, but does it ever.
I just fucking loved that he sits down and he's like all of a sudden like comfortable, like back as a child. It's great.
Smashing popcorn. Like it's a Friday family night, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're back at the station and now they're like, right, here's a potential suspect, Mr. Possibilities. And this guy is a handsome devil. He is driving the girls crazy. He's driving Chief Vic crazy. She turns into a little bit of a horn dog here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy's single? I love.
Huh. Yeah. Right. Really missed out on the dating game, this online dating thing.
They're all just looking at her like, but Jules can't seem to get a date with him. I love this where Sean goes, easy there, Debbie does Santa Barbara.
Right. Phenomenal.
And then Jules is so then they bring in this guy
Mellish
or Ellish or whatever it was, and he goes, well, you know, your profile needs sprucing. Like, who lists The Mentalist as their favorite show?
And then it's like a dead stop. If you can tell they're kind of breaking the fourth wall, like, why would you ever do that? Why would you hate on that show? Like,
yeah right, it was great, absolutely great. And then we get Hubba Jules.
She looks like she's from a Whitesnake video.
Yeah. She is she's looking pretty good. So she's on a second date, Jules' second date, Lorden, shows up at the clothes store. So now you talked about how, you know, the over the clothes middle school action line you use a lot. There's a line that Megan uses, and I'll use as well from time to time. Actually, we use it a lot. Anytime we're at Target, because you go to Target, you go there for one thing, you end up buying a shit ton of t-shirts, graphic tees, and whatnot. And I forgot that it came from this episode, but there, you know, Sean's there, you see with Jules. His mom comes out, she's holding up a pair of jeans. She goes, Goose, get over here. I want to see how they fit in your seat. And Megan will say that to me all the time.
That's honestly, that I was gonna say marry her, but you did. Like, that is phenomenal. That's fucking great. That's so funny.
Because it's just a great, like, I want to see how they fit in your seat. That is such like a mom thing to say, like an 80s mom thing to say, right? Like a
woman. And then he holds it up to him. He holds the shirt up to him. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is actually nice. And then did you notice in the next scene he's wearing the shirt?
Oh no, that's great.
Phenomenal. Like little great. Tiny bit of comedy. Yeah. That, like, you don't like, you only get if you watch the show as much as we do.
Yeah. And so we've always loved that line. And I forgot that it came from this episode. And because I'll be like, I'll hold up like a pair of shorts or something, mostly because I want to like make sure, like, does the color suit me, you know? Yeah. And she goes, well, turn around. Let me see how it fits in the seat. it gets me every time.
That's phenomenal.
But what we get here too is that Lorden is trying to set up a second date. Jules really isn't interested because it's a waste of time, although she had really great chemistry with him.
Yeah.
And Lassie picked up on it. Chief Vic picked up on it.
You're gonna make a really great baby daddy, and I'm like, yeah, all right, settle down.
Yeah. And so that's really going up Sean's tailpipe here. But we get back to the station, and this is where Sean sort of has a bit of an epiphany.
Is this when he believes? Oh, yeah, that she's so into it that he believes it's a woman who might be murdering these women to get to Mr. Possibilities.
Yeah, because she said, why can't I get a date? What are these other women, right? And so he's like, holy shit.
So he goes to Mellish. And like, this is right back and forth. You wrote it down. He's like, let's you know, take a look. You know, you strike me as a real swordsman. And he's like, well, I did take some fencing classes in high school. Not talking about that.
Right.
I love the term swordsman too.
It's a great term, a swordsman, right? Because it's just
very Wedding Crashers.
It is. One woman, so as there, this is also a great little scene. It creates a nice little red herring here. And what it does, it calls back to the beginning of the episode with Gus talking about all the women in the past that he's dated, where Mellish says, well, there is one woman that has been messaging Mr. Possibilities like over and over and over, like 8+ times or whatever. And he pulls up and it's a picture of Rachel. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think we could kind of see this coming because they planted the seed a little bit and we have a special guest star. So we kind of like know how these things work in the show. But it was a perfect red herring for this. And it was a great reason for Sean to go back to Gus, go back to Rachel, give, you know, a little comedic confrontation for which he slaps him right down.
Yeah, yeah, we get as you said, Gus going full Chubbs. I almost said Chode. Chode jeans when he's doing basically like it's all in the hips. So you know, Sean smacks the ball into their area to kind of disturb them. You might have played through, and the back and forth between him and Rachel ensues, where he basically says, "I'm sorry, you're lovely, but I'm going to also accuse you of murder here."
Yeah,
and Gus kind of freaks out. She proves her innocence, and it's a nice little scene to kind of just like deal with that one little plot line right away.
Yeah, and so like that was great. Boom, because like, for a hot second you believe it, shot down real quick, which is we're now halfway, if not a little bit more than halfway. We still don't know. But what I love from about this is like the look that Gus gives Rachel is like 8 times. And then later on, he's he like,
what other random white guy like 8 times?
Yeah, right. Like I love that. Just that little thing. The fact that it was, you know, a white guy and Gus, you know, gets all, pissy about it was great. And I love that. Again, there was a lot of just great little callbacks in this episode. So we get back to the station and Jules is excited because she got a date with Mr. Possibilities. And Sean is melting down and he needs help.
Yeah. So he goes to turn to his parents to get some help. And it turns out that's the worst place he could have possibly gone, because when he goes knocking on the door to find his dad, he is in bed with his mom and he is treating her body like a wonderland.
Oh, man. I have all this stuff putting down memorable moments. So I'm going to go over it now because it's so good. Like there's a point where he's at the end of the episode where he's describing it to Jules. It was a series of limbs. Like more limbs that made sense. And loose skin and noises that didn't make sense, like an aardvark.
Right? He describes it like when he describes the convo after the gust too. He's like, "My dad told me my body was a wonderland."
Yeah, right.
But I love when they get through that thing. It's the goose, no, but then they crash cut to Henry on the bed, being like, "You know, just say whatever you want." Like, and he's just like, "Fly, Eric. Fly high into the clouds. It's so good. Then they have the awkward back and forth, you know.
"Your mother is a very attractive woman." He goes, "Your mother is a very attractive woman, and I'm a man with needs.
I'm not ready for this conversation. And even the dead version of me is not going to want to have this conversation with the dead version of you." It's so fucking good. And then we get, you know, the epiphany of Sean seeing like a Sears catalog with Mr. Possibilities on it. And then he's like, "Oh shit, these were all photoshopped. This dude is this exact dude," you know, and kind of runs him down real quick.
And the best part about that too is like Sean gets like real excited about seeing this guy.
Oh my God. Everyone goes,
"Well, I'm not ready to have that talk yet."
How long have you been obsessed with this guy, Sean?
Right. But it's like, oh my God. So now he's like, okay, Mr. Possibilities is not you know, who we think they are. And what was great about this setup is that they think like, oh, like this person is Mr. Possibilities is real. He's just, you know, taking his own photos and doctoring up a bit. So they go to the guy's house. They're staking it out, and they find out his name is Ken Dowling, and that he's married and he has a record. So okay, now we're at a point in the episode where we're like, all right, boom, it makes sense. We've got the guy. They're on the trail. They confront him. They confront his wife. The actress that played his wife,
so good.
She was tremendous,
unbelievable.
Yeah. So
did you have dessert?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was pretty good too.
Yeah, he was. Okay, fine. I took my assistant out to lunch one time.
I also love when he like when he's confronting him, he like flashes back like a nom thing to who's Goose? Like sees his mom and like he says Goose.
Yeah.
And then what I love is when he's running him down, he's like, look at the family. Look at the pug. How did you do that? Look at that bug's face. Look at it. Like, that kills me.
Oh, it was great. And then she's like throwing all his shit in the yard. Right. And the best part about it is that as the guy is like he's a very handsome man, but he's sitting in the back of the police car in full like beta cuck mode. The best part about this is that Sean gets a call from Elish or Mellish, whatever his name is. It says, oh, Mr. Possibilities just posted something. He goes, well, he must have typed that with his mouth because we're here with him right now.
Well, yeah, because we get the whole also Sean telling Jules it's off and everybody's disappointed for Jules that she's not going to be able to go with Mr. Possibilities.
Right.
And I also love when Mellish calls. Sean thinks it's Jules, and he's like, maybe you can wear that White Snake video thing. And he's like, I don't know, but I can drop it like it's hot. Like, that back and forth is great. And then they set up the fact that, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes before, Mr. Possibilities sent an email while he was arrested. So it's not him. Jules is in some real shit.
Yeah, and the two great things about this is that, one, they completely ruined that guy's marriage right, for no reason.
Great. Right?
And two, it's like the way Elish or Mellish, whatever his name is, responds when Sean says, oh, can you wear this? He goes, this isn't Jules, but I'd be willing to wear what I'm wearing right now and drop it like it's hot. The way he delivers that line, it is that alone put him in the running for
he was good.
Favorite character of the episode, because that line was brilliant. And so we get to the park now. Now we're in the home stretch, but we still don't know who the potential murderer is. Mm-hmm. And who shows up to meet Jules?
Oh, not Jack. It's a seahorse guy.
It's Mike.
Yep.
It's Mike. So I remember actually the first time I watched this going, all right, that I like that. Now, like, I think probably at the time we may have seen it coming. I can't remember or not, because like it makes sense. Like, you see this a lot in these sort of like, you know, whether it's a British procedural or a crowd, like the guy you're first introduced to, like the British will do this all the time. Like, you're introduced to the killer like early on, but you just don't know it. And they go and they tell his wild story and then it comes back. But I thought they did a really good job with that. And we find out that he's been posing as Mr. Paradise because
I do like Mr. Paradise too.
I did write Paradise. I don't write Paradise. Mr. Possibilities. Because, you know, women won't date him based on his profile, but if he puts up pictures of some hunky dude, he's got to beat him off with a stick. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's his, like, little psychological, you know, malfunction that he's, you know, he's got to deal with. And he was real menacing here. This was my one nitpick, though, of the episode, because he was real menacing and it was believable, right? He's got Jules at gunpoint here. And then she starts to like flirt with him a little bit, and then like he was able to let his guard down so fast. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing I was like, I could have done with maybe a slightly different way of that going down.
Yeah, it's always tough to kind of unravel those things, but I do agree he goes from like gonna kill her to let me look at your eyes. Pretty quickly, but it's great. And you know, Sean and Gus and you know Lassie are on the scene, but I do like that Jules takes him out before they even get there.
Yeah,
have a nice touch.
Yeah, that was nice because Jules is a badass, and we should never forget that. And so like that was I thought the reveal was solid. I thought the plot was solid. And then we get the end scene where we get Sean sort of coming to his senses. And tells Jules, he's like, oh, listen, I know, you know, pretty much like everything was going on with dad, blah, 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 but like, I do want to move in with you, right? Yeah. I do want to really make that next step, which was great. You see Gus deleting his profile because he's officially got himself a gal, but We get two things here. We get again another callback where she asks for a snack and then asks for an apple. Mm-hmm. And what do we know about fruit and dried fruit?
It's not a snack.
Right. But she also has something else she needs to talk to Gus about.
She has a child.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, tell me. I know all about that now.
But this is great because this creates some great Gus moments in the next few episodes. So that's the show in a bulk. Let's take it to that Thundercats home, Billy. So yeah, memorable scenes. I mean, we've already sort of hammered on these a bit, but like Sean and Lassie, you know, while on Jules's second date, there was friggin' hysterical. Straddling Madeline and Henry just all over the place. But the more I talked about this out with you two, there are a lot of other like really great scenes.
The opening scene but the scene after the open in the restaurant. Right.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Excellent. Right.
We're playing old school nasty ball.
Just flipping the breadsticks. Because flipping the table would have been way too much. So just that little finger flip of the breadsticks was great. I just mentioned it. My one little tiny nitpick was just, you know, like Jules could have taken him down like that. That just that little thing was.
I get it. Yeah.
You know, but not major. How about you? You kind of mentioned your one little nitpick.
Yeah, there was a couple of just like little pen strokey things that you could have fixed about this episode, but on the whole, it was just like a fun, not like throwaway episode because it did do a lot of stuff, but it was just like fun. It was just a fun episode overall.
The perfect episode, the perfect type of episode you need to follow up Santa Barbara Town, you know, 1 and 2. Who did you have as your favorite character?
I had Sean because if you think about it, he carries the whole episode. He's pretty much in every scene. Obviously, he's the main character, but you know, sometimes he's just by himself. He's acting off of every different actor. Like he has scenes that are really good with every single person, pretty much. So I thought, again, his show, but tour de force of Sean.
Oh yeah, he was a tour de force. I really like Jules, but I went Henry, just because like. That just really tickled me with the whole, you know, him being cranky with everyone sort of, you know, being all over him, trying to take care of him.
I'll say everybody pretty much shined from Chief to Henry to Lassie to Sean to the guest stars. It was great.
Yeah. And Elish was there as a runner up.
Wear what I'm wearing and drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. It was just a fucking perfect delivery. Let's finish up with a nice cool creamsicle, shall we, Billy? Boom,
boom, boom. Muffins.
Love a good muffin. So the pineapple was on the bookshelf in the psych office. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch it the first time on rewatch, did catch it there.
And now there will always be a pineapple in our show because I got my little new drink cup, which is a pineapple.
I'm gonna go on Amazon after this, Billy.
CVS, $6.
No shit.
Maybe Walgreens, $6.
The closest Walgreens to me is in West Roxbury and on Center Street. And fucking the mayor went and really fucked up Center Street by putting goddamn bike lanes and all this shit.
Don't tell me about bike lanes in your city, man.
It's a fucking pain in the ass to drive around on Center Street. It was a pain in the ass to begin with. Yelling at the clouds. Gus, don't be the bee from apartment 23. Mm-hmm. And then. We mentioned this briefly, but like the nickname that Gus has given, Immaculate Conception. This was great. So this happened right before they go into
my parents never had sex.
Yeah,
I was, didn't happen.
Right. What about your sister? I'm pretty sure she was adopted.
Yeah.
Right.
Where is she? Like, and like this, I wanted to make this a point. When he does the. I can't, like he does it so perfect when he's like, when Sean's like, where is she? And he does the, I don't know. Like, and that's like almost one of his catchphrases at this point, but like, the way he hits the, I don't know. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's in a zone sometimes with so like the suck it right from earlier in the episode. Like there's certain things that he just like, it's just like, hitting a fucking, you know, 90 mile an hour fastball, mm-hmm. you know, right down the deck. He's going to knock it out of the park every single time. It's absolutely routine. And again, it's perfect, perfect inflections, perfect deliveries. That's what makes those two, I think, so great. Henry father slash dick of the year moment. He just lands some lumber. It was fantastic. And it was so funny too. Cause like when Sean opens the door, it really was limbs everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, it's just those two were just like, you know, humping coconuts, you know,
snow.
It's like, hey, you guys. some obscure references. I didn't write this one down, but obviously like, you know, to me, like the Happy Gilmore one with mm-hmm. their chubs, Adam Sandler there with that medium pace or Jack Black, if you wanted to, but we get a Words with Friends reference.
That's a member, yep.
Right. The Boy Who Could Fly, Debbie Does Dallas, The Mentalist, Tom Selleck and Paulina
Porizkova.
Porizkova.
1989.
So, throughout the course of discussing this and the chuckles that, you know, that the episode did bring, I bumped it. I gave it a 7. I went from 6.7 to 7 because I didn't have nitpicks. And while I still do feel like maybe there was still like a little more juice they could have, you know, brought to the table there, it's upon further reflection, it really was a really funny episode.
And like not just funny, but like if we were to do the Mac and Goo fun factor,
yes,
this episode is just fun.
It is definitely one that needs to be back in rotation. Mm-hmm. And that was the fun thing too about rewatching it is because I actually do remember watching this one a few times, and it is because of the Henry and Madeline scene and the how I want to see how it fits in the seat.
Yeah,
Meg and I would always just watch that. Like, well, let's put this one on.
It's not an all-timer, but no. it's one you can like.
It's a good rewatcher.
Yeah, it's an easy rewatch.
And but I hadn't seen it in a while, so this is one where I forgot who the bad guy was. I forgot that it was the meat guy from Mike. So just a really good episode. I think it does belong in that seven tier, but I'm not willing to go higher than 7.0.
That's fine.
But a solid 7, regardless.
Yeah, that's all I'm ever looking for. That's shooting high for me.
That's all she's ever looking for too.
Yeah. Oh my god. Good luck. God bless you.
Yeah, right. 6'5", finance, blue eyes, right? Yep. If you're on TikTok, that's the song of the summer, apparently. Have you seen that video?
No, not yet. I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll pop up in your algorithm. Now, we've talked about it. It's in the ether. It'll pop up. Come on, son.
Come on, son. Get that vibe with that bull. Come on.
What do we got going on next week?
Next week, we have Lassie Jerky. This one's going to be an interesting rewatch for me. I've seen it a bunch. I do really like this episode. Probably one of the most standout Hubba Hubba guest stars we have. It's a very like boiled down episode. We literally get Lassie, Sean, Jules, Gus, the two guest stars, and the Big Show. And that's pretty much it.
Other than the Big Show, who are the other guest stars?
There's two people that are like documentary filmmakers that kind of like drive the whole episode.
Okay, I'm gonna go look up who they are because I remember Big Show.
Never seen either before or after, but they're both great in this episode. It's another fun episode with a more serious tilt to it. Completely different style of episode from the way it's shot and whatnot. But I don't know what I'll rank it. It might be where you were this week and then bump it up. But it's a fun ass episode.
I think if from my vague recollection of season 7 and season 8, I feel like we get a lot more of those offbeat episodes that mm-hmm. aren't of like when we talk about psych in its like 3, 4, 5, right? Like there's a certain style to all those episodes. Mm-hmm. Season 6 starts to veer from it just a touch, and then 7 and 8 was really like we get So Lassie Jerky, Billy, where can the people find us?
They can find us wherever they want. In about 2 minutes, you can find me taking a long whiz because I really have to take a pee. So we'll make this quick. Facebook, all of the podcasting platforms. You can find all of our other podcasts there in the universe as well. Mac and Goo, Dork, PCP every once in a great while. Change My Mind, Your Other Podcast, TLDR, and then maybe somebody will stream once in a while.
Technically, we're streaming right now.
Hey, we are.
So, yeah, right? So until next week, William, wait for it.
Leroy Jenkins.
Frank says hi.
Suck it, Davey.